Success is not a destination. It's a journey.
Okay. Oh, what page is Sanctuary in the book? Sanctuary. Sanctuary. Find Sanctuary in your book. What?
91.
Oh, no, I can't do that. You're a ringer. 91 in your songbooks. We'll sing one more song, and then we'll get down this morning. 91 in your songbooks, please. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Y'all know this one? Well, good. You have it in front of me. Lord, right about there, stand up and join me. We'll sing it together. Am I plugged in? Am I on down here? Can y'all hear me out there? Mr. Soundman, turn up my mic. Can you give me a little guitar here? Just a little bit of that. There it is. Sing it with me. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Thank you. You may be seated.
Just before Brother Reed's going to come back, he's going to get serious for just a moment, regroup. He's going to come back and sing our special. And just as soon as he gets finished singing, we're going to ask Pastor Ross to come and preach to us the final message of the morning session. Please focus right here. I know we've got a lot of fun things planned for the afternoon, but give him your undivided attention. Focus here. God has something for you right now.
Moses led God's children 40 years. He led them. I love this song. Usually it helps if you have a bass to sing with you. Oh, my brother. But we don't have that this morning. But I will tell you this. We must be like Moses. We must keep on going. You know, sometimes it's all you can do to keep on going. But you got to keep on going. And there's no discharge in this war. And Jesus is going to come get us. And we have to be faithful till he comes.
Moses led God's children, 40 years he led them, through the storm and through the night. Though they said, let's turn back, Moses said, keep going, Canaan land is just inside. There will be no sorrow there in that tomorrow. We will be there by and by. Milk and honey flowing, there is where I'm going. Canaan land is just inside. Though we climb high mountains, though we walk through valleys, we must not give up the fight. We must be like Moses, we must keep on going. Canaan land is just inside. There will be no sorrow there in that tomorrow. We will be there by and by. Milk and honey flowing, there is where I'm going. Canaan land is just inside. Milk and honey flowing, there is where I'm going. Canaan land is just inside.
Good. Praise the Lord. I don't know what to say. That was just amazing insanity. I have never heard the Chicken Hicken Rickon song in my life, and the fact that some of you are so proficient in it is, on some level, very disturbing to me. But praise the Lord. I leaned over and said, what do they do? Are they sitting at home in their rooms practicing this? I mean, how do they get that good at that? And it's good to see everybody here. Thank you. And Brother Reed, thank you for that great message. I'm becoming more and more convinced that every camp and every youth conference, in the course of the messages that are delivered, somebody needs to stand up and preach again on soul winning, and do it every time and every place. Young person, listen, you may not be called into the ministry, never be an evangelist, a preacher, a missionary, but you know what? Every Christian ought to be a lifelong soul winner, every single one of us. And you can win people to Jesus Christ. And you'll start out nervous, and everything that he gave is right on track. And you do have to learn, and you have to go, and you have to develop boldness. And you do that by hanging around people that are bold for the Lord. And but I just thought that was fantastic. Honestly, I'm never cease to be amazed that the Lord, a lot of times, you know, we think of a Wednesday night service, a Thursday night service. But oftentimes, these morning messages, that very well may have been the message of the entire conference, because it could be eternity for somebody. And if it could energize a handful of young people that says, hey, you know what, I don't have a lot that I can do for the Lord, but you know what, I can work at this, and I can practice, and I can mark my Bible, and I can start going with somebody that knows how to do it, and I can learn how to win souls to Christ. If you do that consistently through your life, I'll tell you what, come judgment day, you're going to be happy. And that you're not standing there alone, but that you've brought others to the Lord Jesus Christ. I just thought that was spot on. This is what I'm finding. We have a teen soul winning. You know, we've kind of accomplished that in most churches. We have teen soul winning now. And I didn't have that growing up. We didn't have teen soul winning when I would. I mean, this was early on. It just was a new concept that you would take teenagers and take them soul winning. We have teen soul winning, but we don't have a lot of teen soul winners. And so that was a timely message. I'd make that as a goal. Don't be ashamed of this. There was a time I would have raised my hand, and nothing to be ashamed of. But how many of you say, you know, preacher, I have never won a soul to the Lord Jesus Christ in my life. That's just something I have not done yet. Would you raise your hand? Don't be ashamed of it. Raise it up. It's all right. So the rest of you, how many of you have won at least one soul to Christ? Oh, that's encouraging. Is that a blessing, man? Do that again. I want to see it. Oh, what a blessing. God bless you. Good, good. Keep after. Keep after. Keep after. Keep after. Wow, you think about that. How many's won more than one? You won two or more souls to Christ. Isn't that amazing? How many of you say, preacher, I'm pretty sure I won at least 10 people in my... Look at the impact of this group right here. Now, young people, if you just keep doing that throughout your life, I mean, you know, if you win just, you know, if God gave you, you know, I don't know, throw a number out there. If he gave you 10 a year, that's less than one a month. You realize over the course of your life how many people you would have won to the Lord Jesus Christ. Keep after it. Keep doing it. If you used to do it, and you've kind of fallen off the wagon, get back to doing it. Well, I was going to get up here and promote my books, and I don't know if I really want to. I've just been scarred for life now. And I did. I published this book, The 21 Tenets of Biblical Masculinity. And I wrote this book several years ago. I wrote this book. And spent the entire time when I was writing it eating raw hamburger and drinking motor oil, and while I was writing this, you know, and so I've got this book, and then the question immediately became, well, can you write one for the young ladies? And I partnered with my wife, and I said, why don't you write it? She said, well, why don't you do the biblical part of it, do the Bible study, and then I'll flesh it out and talk to the girls. And so we tag teamed on it, and then when it came time to publish, I'm like, put your name on it. My wife is, first of all, very humble. She's not a spotlight person. She doesn't like the stage. That's not her. And she's a very honest person. So she's like, but I didn't write the whole thing. You wrote it. And we fussed back and forth for a long time. And finally, you know who won the argument. I said, okay, all right, we'll put both our names on it. That was the one time in my ministry I should not have listened to my wife. I should have just been the man and said, shut up, woman. Your name's going on it. My name is not going to... My ministry pretty much is over now. I'm winding it down. This will be the last summer that I preach, and then I'm going to go to a monastery and spend the rest of my life. I told Brother Reed, I said, the worst moment of my life was I'm sitting in my office, and I get a phone call, and Cheryl, she says, some lady wants to talk to you on the phone. So I get on the phone, and there's ladies from some other state. I don't even remember because I'm so scarred now. But she's like, is this Brother Ross? And I'm like, yes. Oh, Brother Ross, I just had to call you and thank you for your book on femininity. It's changed the lives of the ladies in our church. I'm just like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my life's over. I'm done. Some woman's calling me and thanking me. I've changed. So I just hang up and I hang my head. And I start calling some of my preacher's friends and to get some type of, encouragement. And I'm like, I'm going to have to kill myself. I just tell them, I'm going to have to, what's going on? I'm going to have to kill myself. I said, I'm going to become the, femininity preacher across America, I can't live down the Gerald thing. I got it on my back now. Now I've written a book on femininity, apparently. I'm leading ladies to biblical femininity, and I just need to kill myself. But I... but I told him, I said, if I kill myself, I'm going to do it in some really masculine way, And so I thought my preacher friends would come back with encouragement. No, kill yourself. No, they started texting me different ways that I could commit suicide in a very masculine type way. One of the guys said that I should go into the busiest intersection in town at 90 miles an hour, flip my truck over, and then get out of it, stand on top of it on its side, and pull out a gallon of Drano and chug it down, and then just die in convulsions right there in the middle of the... This is the kind of... these are the kind of preacher friends I have, Another preacher I won't mention made a suggestion concerning a case of dynamite and a cigar, and I'm not going to do that, but anyway, praise the Lord. If you have children, this isn't really a teen book, but if you have children, our newest book, my newest book, my wife was not involved in this, is The Childhood Years of Jesus Christ. That's brand new. You can get those at the back. Wow, what do I do? I don't know. Okay, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 8. It's spreading, though. I mean, in February, let me tell you the story I told the preacher. I got this brilliant idea. I got to stop having brilliant ideas. I had this brilliant idea. The 40th anniversary of Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We're celebrating it this year. 40 years. Church was established in May of 1973, and so for the entire year we're celebrating. I decided, here's my brilliant idea. I'm going to preach a series of messages on Sunday night, entitled The 40 Biggest Issues of the Past 40 Years. 40 weeks, a series on Sunday night. So I wrote down what I thought was the biggest issues, and then I emailed several pastors and said, hey, look at this, what am I missing? And they emailed back, and anyway, I've got this list of stuff. Well, you're not going to deal with that without dealing with the subject of homosexuality. And so basically I started in Romans chapter 1. We're talking about atheism, we're talking about humanism, then eventually you're going to get to homosexuality, and but on our marquee in the sign, 40 biggest issues past 40 years, every Sunday, this Sunday night, boom, I put it on there. So I put homosexuality on it. I'm preaching again. I put it out there on Monday. Even some of our members Wednesday night, preacher, you think if we put that on there in the climate? Oh, no, it don't matter. We're in Jacksonville, Indiana. It's not going to matter. Nobody's going to care out here. Everybody's going to be for it. And so Sunday came, and I preached on it, and nothing happened. And I said, see, what did I tell you? 2 weeks later, I'm preaching on Sunday morning. We had a wonderful service. I had an adult man that walked the aisle and was getting saved right here. And some kids brought in from children's church who were getting saved, getting ready to baptize a few people. Just a good, solid Sunday morning, exciting. And I'm getting ready to wrap up the invitation, wait for them to get done. And an usher comes up and puts a piece of paper on the pulpit and just stands beside the, kind of stands there like he's waiting for me. So I open the piece of paper and it says, Pastor, you need to know what's going on outside. Across the road from our church, there's four men dressed in dresses with high heels, makeup, and wigs, and they're protesting our church for you preaching a few weeks ago against homosexuality. Brother, in Jacksonville, Indiana, I got four guys across the street from my church in dresses, high heels, wigs, and makeup, protesting our church. Now, you got to understand, I'm like in the biggest redneck area of Indiana that there is. I'm already thinking about the guys in my church and which one's going to get in this four-wheel drive truck and drive out and run over them. You know, I mean, I'm serious about this. My worry was not what they were doing to us, it's what my guys were going to do to them. And so I had to spend 5 minutes giving instruction and threatening our guys and all of that. But I got to think, I didn't realize maybe that was all in response to the femininity book. Maybe I was impacting more than I knew the world for the Lord. Wow. It's over, brother. My entire ministry. This is my last message. I hope you enjoy it. John chapter number 8, verse number 31. Oh, Brother Reed, that was a great message. And last night, young people, what he said is so true. I think he put his finger right on the issue, right on the problem. You see, you can have all the good intentions and make all of the best decisions during the week, but if you're not willing to deal with the rubbish in your life, you know what? It's going to derail you. And so please take these truths that you're hearing and put them into action. Follow through with the decisions you're making. All right, good. John chapter 8, verse 31. I'm going to read just two verses. Let's read on purpose. Let's think about what we read. We're reading, okay? Verse 31. We'll just go slowly here. And it's just the two verses, so we'll really squeeze them. We'll stop. We'll think. We'll make sure you understand this. Here we go. John 8, 31. Then said, okay, who's speaking? All right, we need to pay attention then. Mercy, say, do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Do you love Jesus? Well, love him enough to hear him. Here he is. Then said Jesus. Now notice who he's speaking to. To those Jews, which what? Believed on him. So is he speaking to lost Jews or saved Jews? All right, so this is something he's going to say to someone who's saved. All right, here's what he says. If ye continue, this is so important. Wow, watch this. If ye continue in my word. Now, it took the word of God to get him saved. But folks, salvation is not the end. It's the beginning. It's the new birth. All the growth, all the life, everything that you can do, all the productivity is ahead. Now, he's saying this. Watch this. If ye continue in my word, then are ye my, what? Disciples indeed. Now listen, I pray that this is the truth of many of the young people in this room, but I want you not to just want to be saved and not just be satisfied with just being saved, but I want you to dare to be a disciple. You see, Jesus is looking for disciples. He's still seeking out disciples. Just as he walked on the earth, and I don't know, maybe with his foreknowledge, he didn't have to do this, but I wonder, you know, we've got the accounts of where he went to some men and said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And when he did that, watch this, young people, when he did this, he didn't stand there and plead and beg and give all the reasons why they ought to do it. He just said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. He turned around and walked away. And what you said on the opening night's important. I remember Brother Reno Likens, I asked him one time, I said, Brother Reno, a large youth group that he had there in Shawnee for all those years, I said, how do you decide who you spend time with and who you invest the most in? And you know what his answer was? He said, I don't decide, they decide. Did you get that, young person? I don't decide, they decide. And you know what? Jesus said, follow me, I'll make you fishermen. He turned around and walked away. And you know what? They had to make a decision. I mean, here they are with their nets in their hands, and they're mending and cleaning nets, and they look at each other, and their daddy's there, and the family business is going to be inherited, and that's their future, and that's their dreams. And they had to make a quick decision. And I believe God's coming to some of you this week and saying, follow me. And I'll make you become fishers of men. And you're going to have to make some decisions here. You ought to dare to be a disciple. Now let's get into verse 32, because here's what we're going to preach on. And ye shall, watch this, and ye shall know the what? Now wait, how are they going to know the truth? If ye continue what? In my word. Now young people, let me just say this. Establish it. Here's where the truth is. Okay, let God be true and every man a liar. I'll say this, and I'll include myself. If this book says something, and Jerry Ross stands up and says something opposite of what this book says, God's true and I'm a liar. If anybody in your life, any friend of yours, any family member looks at you and says something that's opposite of this book, let God be true and every man a liar. This is how you know what the truth is. All right? Are we there? Now watch this. Here it is. Are you with me? Verse 32. And ye shall know the truth. But here's the important statement. Watch this. And the truth shall make you free. Shall make you free. I want to talk about honesty. I want to talk this morning on the importance of the truth. The importance of the truth. Now, look right up here. Of all the things that you could preach on and all the things you could present, preacher, this is it? Yes. Yes. Listen, if you are not willing to seek the truth, find the truth, accept the truth, speak the truth, embrace the truth, and walk in truth, you know what? Your life is going to be one big lie. You know what the hardest thing that I'm finding as I'm preaching young people is just getting them to be truthful. Number one, with themselves. Number two, with people around them. I'm going to say something, and you preachers help me on this, because maybe I don't want to, and I'm not putting y'all in the same boat. I'm not putting y'all in the same boat, but I'm going to tell you what I'm finding out. We got an epidemic. An epidemic in our Christian schools, an epidemic in our youth groups. I cannot tell you how many young people, Christian young people from good core families, who are habitual liars. Habitual liars. Some of you have told so many lies, you don't even recognize a lie from the truth anymore. You don't speak the truth. The truth is not sacred to you. I pray at the end of this message that you'll view the truth differently, that you'll view the truth sacredly. The importance of truth. Now, first of all, let's define the truth, okay? Watch this. Honesty is rightly defined as telling the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. You say, preacher, wait a minute. Are you saying I'm a liar? Wait a minute. I'm going to let you decide. If you were to go into a court of law and you were to be a witness, you'd raise your right hand, put your left hand on the Bible like this, and you'd have to say this. I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God, as God is my witness from my mouth to his ears, I am promising to tell. Now, why did they make you say that? Why don't they just make you say, I promise to tell the truth, and then go get in the stand? Because we lie three different ways. We lie three different ways. Now, first of all, there's an out-and-out lie. I mean, you tell the exact opposite of what happened. That's just telling a lie. That's why they say that they have you promise to tell the truth. Because some people just flat tell an absolute opposite of what happened. Well, I don't do that. I know. We're a lot more sophisticated in our lying as Christians. That's why you have to put your hand on the Bible and say, I promise to tell the truth. What's the next one? The whole truth. Now watch this. A lie, an out-and-out lie, is a lie. A false statement, a false witness is a lie. That's number one. I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth. Watch this. A partial truth is a lie. Well, I didn't lie. Wait a minute. Well, everything I said was the truth. Wait a minute. Did you tell the truth and the whole truth? So something happens at school, or something happens at church, or something happens with another person in the church, and you get upset. So you go tell an authority. You go tell your parents. You go tell the pastor, and you say, you know what? You know what happened? Let me tell you what happened. And you tell part of it, but it's, you don't tell all of it. Let's illustrate this. There's two little children, Susie and Billy, brother and sister. They're playing in the room. Mom gets them playing. Billy's 4. Susie's 6. They're sitting there playing with their toys. She thinks they're good to go. So she goes in the kitchen to do some things. Susie comes running in a few minutes and says, Mom, Billy took my Barbie doll, and threw it out the window, Mom, kill him, Mother, kill him, come on, kill him. So Mom comes in and says, Billy, did you throw Susie's Barbie out the window? And Billy says, yes, ma'am.
See, I told you, kill him, Mother, kill him. Through Barbie, kill him!
I mean, that's, you know, but Mom's pretty smart. So Mom says, now, Billy, Billy, why did you throw Barbie out the window? Now, Billy's sitting there playing with G.I. Joe. And he looks up at Mom and he says, Mom, Susie tried to put a dress on my G.I. Joe, and if anybody tries to put a dress on G.I. Joe, Barbie goes out the window. Now, come on, guys. Would that be a sensible, reasonable way to live your life? You know. Now, wait a minute. You say, did Susie tell the truth? No, she lied. But she just said he threw it. Yeah, she's lying. She's a stinking little liar. Most older sisters are. Come on. Let's go get an amen right here, all right? All right, come on now. She's a liar. But she spoke the truth. She did not. Because she gave a partial truth. Now listen, how sacred is the truth to you? Are you going to spend your entire life lying upon lie upon lie upon lie? Say, what's the big deal? Watch this. We're not done. I promise to tell the truth, the whole truth. So a false witness is a lie, a partial truth is a lie, and nothing but the truth. An embellished truth is the lie. So you tell everything that happens, but you just add a few things to it. And I like it when young people want to add facial expressions and tones. You know, they come home, look, my Christian school teacher, Mrs. So-and-so, she came to me today. Mom, you won't believe that. She came to me and she said, well, just what are you doing? Now listen, I've been around a lot of Christian school teachers. I've never seen one go, well, just what are you doing? But you know what? Listen, you may say the exact words that she said, but you are embellishing it. You are changing the facts. You're adding an attitude to it. You're adding, stressing a negative to it. Listen, you're not given a true picture of the interaction between you and that authority figure. And young people, I want you to understand something. Every single time you tell the truth, watch this, it helps set you free. Every single time, and I'm going to convince you of this of the scripture in just a minute, you tell a lie, another demonic chain finds its way around you and begins to restrict what you can do and what you can be for the Lord Jesus Christ. If we had spiritual ears and spiritual eyes and we could see the invisible, some of you young people are completely incapacitated because you are bound. You are held captive and hostage by the lies that you have been telling and telling and telling and telling. And you may think it's a little thing. By the time we get done, I pray that you'll understand there's no such thing as a little white lie. The truth will always make a man free. Lies produce bondage. Truth sets you free. And I'm going to give you a bunch of stuff. Listen real quickly and I'm going to read the scripture. You won't have to go there. Just look right up at me. I want to explain how important the truth is. Number one, our holy God is a God of truth. Our holy God is a God of truth. Let me introduce you to the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All of them are strongly connected. All of them are inseparable when it comes to this matter of the truth. It speaks of God in Titus chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. In Hebrews 6:18, that by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation. I'm going to build a case here. Stay with me. God the Father, it's established in the scripture, He cannot lie. What about God the Son? What about Jesus Christ? John 1:14, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. How about John 14:6? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth and the life. See, Jesus, the truth is so important to Him that He was willing to take the title of the truth and take it as one of His titles, one of the things that He uses for His own personal, to be recognized personally. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. You cannot separate God the Father from the truth. You cannot separate the Son from the truth. What about the Holy Spirit, preacher? Well, the Holy Spirit in the Bible, three times in the Gospel of John, is called the Spirit of Truth. John 14:17, even the Spirit of Truth, whom the world cannot receive because it seeth Him not. John 15:26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of Truth. John 16:13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of Truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. I love Romans 9:1. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, 1 John 5:6, this is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood, and it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Now watch this, young person. When you speak the truth, you cannot do so without having an interaction with God. It is God that enables you and empowers you to speak the truth. God dwells over here where there is truth. When you speak the truth, when you walk in truth, when you embrace the truth, when you live the truth, you are surrounded by the triune God. They support you in this. You cannot separate God from the truth. Now watch this. Let's flip the coin over. If there's a head, there's a tail. Preacher, where in the world does lies come from? Well, in Genesis chapter 3, we're introduced to the father of all lies. The first mention of Satan as the serpent in the Bible, this is the account we read. Now, the serpent was more subtile than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto woman, here's his first statement, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Watch this. The second thing that comes out of Satan's mouth, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Ye shall not surely die. Think about that. Let that sink in. I mean, here we're introduced in the first few chapters in the book of beginnings. We're introduced to the God of truth and the father of lies. A holy, truthful God and a conniving serpent, Satan. One of them is telling them the truth and somebody else is coming with a lie. Go, if you will, in your Bibles. I'm going to have you turn to this one because I want you to see this. John chapter 8, verse 44. Go there as quickly as you can. You should be right there in John. John 8, 44. Watch this, young people. I want to explain this to you. I'm not going to try to be nasty or inappropriate here, but you need to understand something. Some of you are going down a very dark path, and that path is going to lead to a lot of things, a lot of bigger sins than lying. But I'm going to tell you where it's going to start in your life. It's going to start the day that you start believing lies. It's going to start the day that you can begin to start telling lies. It's going to start the day that you begin to lie to yourself, first of all. Then you begin to lie to your parents. Then you begin to lie to God. And pretty soon your life becomes a lie. This is big time stuff. Now watch what it says in John 8:44. Ye are of your, this is Jesus speaking, you're of your father the devil. And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Are you getting this? He abode not in the truth because there is, what's it say? No truth in him. Now, remember what we said a minute ago? It said about God, he cannot lie. It's saying now about Satan, guess what? There is no truth in him. Are you noticing that over here, there's getting to be more and more of a separation as we look at the scriptures? I mean, this idea of, well, I want to tell the truth when I want to and don't tell a lie when I want to and I can kind of live. No, all of a sudden, this is becoming very holy and sacred and divine and anointed. And this is becoming satanic and wicked. Now watch this. Watch this. We're not done. Look at it. Because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar. Now this next phrase ought to scare you. Watch this. And the father of it. Okay. Now look right up here. I'm going to help you with something. I'm not trying to be nasty. I don't want anybody to laugh and snicker. That's not the intent, so that you'll learn something here. Father of it. Brother. I mean, we got teenagers in here. I won't go into detail. We got some children. But folks, you know what? It takes a mommy and a daddy for a baby to be born. Okay, it takes interaction between the two for a baby to be born. Are you getting this? Are you thinking about where I'm going? God says, not only is the devil a liar, but he fathers all lies. Now, young person, I'm going to tell you, Brother Reed, Brother Lasseter, there's a lot of preaching, a lot of teaching that's good out there about spiritual warfare and opening up satanic doors. And man, how many times have you heard somebody say, you listen to rock music, you've opened a satanic door. And by the way, you listen to rock music, you're opening a satanic door. It's inarguable to anybody who's intelligent and honest and will study it out and look at it. It's inarguable. You're opening up some door. Oh, don't read certain books, these vampire books, and don't read all of this other stuff. You're opening satanic. I'd say, amen. All of these paranormal shows and some of these horror shows that some of you have gotten yourselves into that's saturated in the occult. Listen, you're opening some things. Young people, listen to me. You better not mess with that stuff. Okay, you better hear me out. You're going to open up some things in your life that you may not be able to get shut. And so we preach against all these things, but I'm going to tell you something. You know, don't mess with Ouija boards, tarot cards, don't go get your palm, all of that stuff. Witchcraft, that's open satanic, and it does. But I'm going to tell you where most young people begin to open satanic influence into their life. And it's not because they're playing with a Ouija board. It's not because they're out sneaking out at night going to a heavy metal rock concert. And it's not because they have, the book of Satan, the Bible of Satan hidden under their bed. They open satanic doors in their life and give Satan a stronghold in their life because they begin to not treat the truth sacredly. Come on, let's be honest here. Watch this. Come on, think about it. The Holy Spirit's real good at this right now. That's why you're thinking of the last couple, three lies. Okay? Holy Spirit's real good at doing what I can't do. I'm glad that He doesn't leave me up here by myself. I'm doing my part. I know He's doing His part. Come on now. Every single time you tell a lie, every time you either do not tell the truth or do not tell the whole truth or do not tell nothing but the truth, you have had to interact with Satan in order to do that. You say, preacher, I need more verses. I don't know about that. Okay, I'm going to give you some more. Listen very carefully. I'm going to back it up. Acts 5:3. Remember Ananias and Sapphira? By the way, Ananias, is he a lost man or a saved man? Now, this ought to scare you. This ought to scare you, young people. And I'm trying to scare you right now. I'm just flat telling you. You need to be scared about this. Look at what it says here in Acts 5:3. But Peter said, Ananias, wow, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Come on, what story did you just tell Mom this week? Hey, there's something going on between you and this boy. Oh no, we're just friends, Mom. Are you guys texting? Oh, no, we're not done. What are you talking about? Not texting. And like you said the other day, I didn't lie. We're Instagramming. No, you're a liar. Come on, you're a liar. You tell the truth, the whole truth. If you told the whole truth, you would have said, no, we're not texting, we're Instagramming. Come on. Come on, I mean, we lie, and we lie, and we lie, we don't think a thing about it. And every time you tell a lie, the truth, listen, what's it do? It sets you free, it makes you free. Every time you tell the truth, I mean this, you allow another demonic chain to grip you and to restrict you. And after a while, young people, some of you are so controlled by lies, and your life has become one big lie. And when a preacher gets up and preaches the truth, it's almost an offense to you. You're so tied and bound. There's so much satanic influence in your life because you can't even remember what you said last time. You've told so many lies to cover lies to cover lies to cover lies. I preached this message a couple weeks ago in a teen camp and at the bonfire testimony at the end of the week. There's a young lady that stood up and she began to weep and she said, when the preacher spoke about the importance of the truth, she said, for the last 4 years, I was thinking, when have I ever even told the truth in 4 years? My life, she said this, tears running down her face, my life, watch this, I want you to get, my life has become one big lie. And she said, I don't even know how to fix it. Sit there weeping, I don't know how to fix it. She's lied to every authority in her life. She's lied to every friend in her life. I mean, you know what? Some of you don't realize it because you think you've got everybody duped. Just because when you do tell a lie, not everybody looks at you and says, you're lying. But some of you have such a reputation. Come on. If I was to call the authorities in your life, said, let me ask you something. If so-and-so told me something, could I believe it? And you know what would be the answer, the honest answer for a lot of you here? Maybe. I'm not saying she never tells the truth, but I'd be careful. And you don't understand what you've done. You say, preacher, I need more scriptural. Good, because I got more. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 1. Galatians chapter 3, verse number 1. Oh, foolish Galatians. Boy, this ought to just, again, watch this. Oh, foolish Galatians. Who hath, what's the next word? Good night, preacher. Now, what's, I want to finish it because we need to understand it. It's talking about the subject. Oh, foolish Galatians. Who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? You know, in my generation, we thought about the word bewitched. We thought, you know, the little nose. Not even with TV land do they know what I'm talking about. It's you know, witchcraft. Bewitched you that you should not obey the truth. Let me tell you, you get over here and you get into comfortable. You know, remember when you first told a lie? And I mean, you know, when you used to tell a lie. And I mean, man, a lie, you couldn't even hardly sleep that night. You knew that you lied to mom and dad. And maybe there was even a time where you'd come to them and you'd weep and say, I didn't tell you the truth and I can't sleep. And wait a minute, it don't even bother you anymore. In this area of your life, your conscience has become seared. I mean, come on. I brought Christian school kids in my office and had them sit across the table from me and had them look me right in the face and swear on their mother's grave and swear to Almighty God and say, preacher, I'll put my hand on the Bible. And then find out later, everything they told me was an absolute lie. And they can look right. I'm going to tell you something. To walk in a preacher's office and look him in the eye and lie to him, brother, I'm going to tell you something. I wasn't no angel growing up, but I don't think I could have done that. Some of you, your mama loves you. Your mama loves you. And you look her in the eye, and you know what you do? You lie to her, and you lie to her, and you lie to her, and you lie to her. Who hath, let me ask you this, who hath bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? The more you get over into this, you start hanging around the crowd that's over here. This is the lying crowd. This is the liars. You start getting truthful. You start being truthful. You know what? You start separating yourself from that crowd. Truth sets you free. And wait a minute, preacher. I'm clear over here and I'm bound up. What do I do? Why don't you break one chain? You know how you get over there? Same way you got over here. What's the last lie that you told to your mother? Some of you need to borrow a cell phone. I'm serious. You need to borrow your youth pastor's cell phone. I say, you know what? I lied to my mom right before I got on the bus. I need to make that thing right. Mom, I'm sorry. I said this. You asked. You didn't bring such and such. No, I didn't bring it. And it's right there in your suitcase. Liar. Liar. Who hath bewitched you? Watch this. You know what's happened? Not only have you become a liar, but you're hanging around people that lie. And you lie to each other. You lie as if there's no consequences. You lie telling yourself there's no consequences. Yeah, I mean, lie upon lie upon lie. Who hath bewitched you? Let me ask you something, young lady. Who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Come on, answer that question. Who's the person? Who in your life encourages you to lie to authority? Encourages you to lie to yourself? Encourages you to lie to God? Encourages you to live this lie? Who hath bewitched you? Watch this. They may not even understand it, but they are being used as a tool of Satan in your life to bewitch you. Are you getting this? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 25, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man the truth with his neighbor. A verse later it says this, and be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down on your wrath, neither give place to the devil. And an interesting, right after it tells you to put away lying, it says, don't give place to the devil. Now listen to me, folks. You have to decide whether or not you're going to live a life of truthfulness. And the truth is going to be sacred to you. Parents, a few parents are in here. Let me tell you something. We don't treat this as a bad enough sin. Authorities, we don't treat this as a bad enough sin. I don't care what a kid's done in our Christian school. Brother, I'll deal with that. But if he lies to me about it, now the punishment just went up by, not double, it just went up by 10. Because if you did something, then listen, we're all going to mess up, guys. Come on. Man up.
Okay, did you say something you shouldn't have said? Did you treat somebody the way you shouldn't have? Authority figure asked you? Listen, it's not just doubling the sin. It's making it 10 times as worse. You don't understand what you're doing. Listen, all of us sin. All of us fall short of the glory of God. All of us miss the mark. But when we begin to lie about it, we compound it. We baptize it in demonic activity. We allow ourselves to be wrapped up with chains. Listen to me. Some of you right now have a lie that you're protecting. A lie that you're protecting. There's something going on in your lives. And you know what? You've told mom and dad it's not going on, but it is going on. And you've lied to yourself. And you've lied to God. You know, I think one of the most discouraging things about the ministry, and I don't want to sound like I'm whining, because like you said, brother, we get to do this, man. Are you kidding me? But I think one of the saddest verses in all the Bible is this. Paul wrote to the Galatians in Galatians 4:16. He said this. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Young people, did you get that? Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? See, more and more people don't want to know the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. Was this predicted? Of course it was. 2 Timothy 4. I charge you therefore before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, who should judge the quick and the dead, it is appearing in His kingdom, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust will they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. How many of you are those verses are referring to you? You've come to the point where you've turned your ears away. I don't want to hear the truth. I don't want to know the truth. I want to be over here, and I want people to lie to me, and I want to live a lie, and I want to believe a lie, and I want to pretend it's all going to be all right. It's not going to be all right. Your parents are over here. You know what they're doing? They're trying to get you to come over here with them, because this is where God is. This is where freedom is. I mean, the truth makes you free, brother. As long as I speak the truth, I feel good. I can walk off the pulpit today, and you know what? If I spoke the truth, you know what? Man, I can sleep good tonight. I feel good. Truth makes you free. You know what binds you? Lies. You know what makes you a servant of Satan? Lies. You know what causes you to become bound and restricted and I mean, to the point where God can't use you for anything? I mean, you don't even know what to do with the truth. Your mom is telling you the truth. Come on, young lady, she's telling you the truth and you don't want to hear it. If you walk out of your room with, come on, if you walk out of your room with something that's too tight or too revealing, and your mom says, hey, that's too tight, that's too revealing, and you get angry at her, why are you getting mad at her? She just told you the... Why do you have a problem with truth? You know who tells you the truth? People who love you. You know who tells you the truth? People who are being used of God. They tell you the truth. What do you want? To walk over here with your friends and have them say, well, that's not too revealing. And good night. It's gross. It's inappropriate. It's wicked. But you want to get over here and be lied to so you can feel good about doing what you want to. Hey, what have you bought into here? Mama's over here and she's telling you the truth. Why don't you come over here where Mama is? All right, young man, your dad tells you the truth. He comes in, and you know what? He looks at you and says, son, get off the couch. Look at me, son. I want to tell you something. You know what? You're lazy. And you cop an attitude. You walk around with 3 days with a chip on your shoulder. And you know what? What he said is 100% the truth. But you'd rather hang over here with the liars. My dad, you don't believe what he said the other day. All the stuff I do around here. No. You know why he told you he's lazy? Because you're lazy. Listen, I don't know about you, but I want the truth. I mean, sometimes, Brother Reed, the truth hurts. But I'd rather it hurt and hear the truth than have somebody lie to me and live a lie. Honestly, Brother Lassiter, you can't offend me. If at some point at the end of this conference you come to me and, Brother Ross, there was something you said or something you did, I just didn't feel like it was appropriate. Brother, you'd be my best friend. You know what would hurt me? Is if I found out that I had said or done something that was inappropriate and you felt that way and you didn't tell me. I want the young people, do you want the truth? People that love you tell you the truth. People that love you aren't afraid to say, you know why I like Brother Gomez? I'm going to come.
Look out.
I mean, you know what? You better watch what you say. You say something that's wrong, you know what he's going to say? I mean, he can be around 20 other preachers. He'll say, Ross, that's stupid. That is not true. What in the world are you saying? He said, well, I'm not hanging around that guy anymore. No, that's the guy you need to hang around.
Yeah, that's right.
We've got an entire culture walking around in a fog of lies. Anytime they get near somebody that's telling them the truth, all of a sudden, you know, they run away from them. They want to get back in their little liar club here. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you who the president of the liar club is. And it's, oh, smutty face. It's the devil. And you know what? You sign up for that club, and he'll put a membership card on you, and he'll brand you, and he'll bind you, and he'll keep you. And listen, watch this. I don't have time to make application here, but I'm going to tell you this. Watch it. Look at the armor of God. Look right up here. I'm going to help some of you young ladies. You know the difference between the young lady in this room that will walk down a marriage altar pure and clean with a white dress and have a right to wear it, and the one that throws away the most precious thing God gave you? The Bible says that your loins will be girded about. I'm not trying to be gross here. You all understand what loins is? Here to here. Okay? I've said enough. Your loins gird about with what? You know how every young lady ends up blowing it? He starts lying. Oh, he's not so bad. Liar. Yes, he is. Oh, so what if he's not the most spiritual guy in the world? Liar. You're lying to yourself. Don't try to convince me. I'm not going to believe a lie. You're saying that to try to lie to yourself so you'll believe it. All of a sudden, mom and dad get concerned. They start asking questions. You lie, and you lie, and you lie, and you lie. And guess what? That which would have protected your purity, you cast aside as if it's meaningless, and the devil has a way to destroy you. Every young man that ever took that first drink had to lie to himself and hung around liars and started believing a lie and eventually put a bottle to his lip. It all starts this way. I'm not here to preach against rock music this morning. You know what gets you to the rock music? Lies. Lies. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. The deception happens before the drink. I mean, you go to any sin. Where did the devil get a foothold? By convincing you that lies are little and lies are white. And I'm telling you what, there's never been a little lie, and every one of them's as black as hell. What have you been lying about? Come on. Lying to yourself about, lying to mom about, lying to dad about. Some of you young men, just recently, you looked in your preacher eye and you lied to him. You looked your youth pastor eye and you lied to him. The only way to make that right is to go back, look the man in the eye, shake his hand and say, we need to talk. I told you something the other day and it's absolutely not true. I'm ashamed of myself. The only way to get the chains off is tell the truth. So you know what you need to do? You need to deal with one lie that the devil's brought to your attention, or I'm sorry, the Lord's brought to your attention, and you need to get a hold of the authority figure or the person you like, and you need to go to them and tell them the truth. And you know what you're going to find? Boom, one chain came off. Preacher, I still feel bound. Okay, then deal with the next one. Boom. Deal with. But preacher, I'm going to be in so much trouble. Now, I'm going to tell you, trouble isn't over here. It's in trouble, man. You're in trouble already. Trouble's not over here. Freedom's over here. Trouble's over there. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. What's going on? What's going on? I have no way of knowing. I'm not supposed to know. Oh, if we knew. If we knew right now how close some of you are to total self-destruction just because you have not treated the truth sacredly in your life. Let me say, preacher, lying has become a habit in my life. I don't always tell the truth. I don't always tell the whole truth. I don't always tell nothing but the truth. You're right. It's become habitual in my life. Maybe you realized it before, maybe you didn't realize it till now, but preacher, lying has become a way of life with me. I'm not going to lie now, and I'm not going to lie to myself, and I'm not going to lie to God. Maybe I'll get the first chain off just by lifting my hand. Preacher, it has become too common in my life, the sin of lying. Would you raise your hand good and high all around the auditorium? All around the auditorium, all around the auditorium. Come on. If you're not going to be real and you're not going to be truthful with yourself, there's no way we'll get anything done this week all across the auditorium. God, all right, put your hands down. Preacher, I should have raised it. I should have raised it. I want the chains off. Put it up now. I didn't a second ago, but I'm going to raise my hand now. It's become a part of my life. All over. Come on, now's the chance to get a chain off. Come on. It's time to take the first step. God bless you. Preacher, God's convicted me of a specific lie. I mean, the Holy Spirit of God's been beating me up over this since you introduced the subject. I mean, He's made it clear there's something in my life that I've lied to myself about or I've lied to somebody else about. And God's convicted me of that and I need to get it right. Would you raise your hand? Raise it high. Raise it high. Preacher, God specifically has spoken to my heart. God bless you. 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 Whew, that's good stuff. Amen. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. We're going to let the piano players play. Preacher, what sets you free? The truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. Would you make your way to an altar? The truth will set you free. The truth will set you free. Come, first of all, and confess that sin to God. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us with all unrighteousness. You've got to make it with right with God for you can make it right with anybody else. Now let's just focus for this moment on getting that sin right with God. Call it what it is. God, I've been a liar. God, I've spoken a lie. I've sinned against you. God, I've mistreated you. I've interacted with the enemy of God. I've let him have influence in my life. Lord, I'm bound by this. I feel like I'm a spiritual captive in this warfare. I need to be set free. Get it right with the Lord first. Get it right with Him first. But wait a minute, young people. For some of you, it's not going to be done there. There's things you need to come clean on. Some of you have some things in your room you need to let mom and dad know about. Some of that rubbish that was preached on the other night. It's time to come clean. Come on, tell the truth. Speak the truth. Embrace the truth. Walk in truth. Live the truth. Every time you tell the truth, every time you walk in truth, you'll get freer and freer and freer and freer and closer to God, stronger with the Lord. Every time you lie, you make yourself more and more a captive of the devil, a captive of the devil. And I don't know about this, so I know I don't believe the Bible says you can be demon possessed. Don't get me wrong, but I don't believe in demon possession. But I'm going to tell you, when it says, why has Satan filled thine heart? You better take a look at that, because you've opened some door awful wide in your life. It didn't say affected your heart. It's influenced your heart. It says filled your heart. Are you ready to face the truth? Are you ready to embrace the truth? Are you ready to start telling the truth? As the Holy Spirit leads, the invitation's still open. Would you come?
Let's bow our heads and close our eyes for just a moment. Young people, I want you to listen to me. I hope that you listen to what the preacher said. Because he's right. Lying has become an absolute epidemic. And it's not just among teenagers. It's among young adults. It's among married couples. Spouses are lying to each other. It's epidemic. And he's right. So many times we lie so much, we're not even sure when we're telling the truth anymore. And some of you this morning are lying to yourself, because you're saying, I'm not a liar. I'm not lying. I'm not doing this. When you know that you are. And I hope you listen to what the preacher said. Lying is not just an open door. It opens a chasm that you many times cannot close on your own. And it leads to so many other sins, so many other avenues, so many other tributaries that will lead you down a place that once you get down there, you'll get absolutely lost. If you're habitual, you need help. And until you admit that you need help, you're not going to get it. Mom and dad can take you and put you here, put you there, but until you admit there's a problem and address the problem, you're not going to be cured. You're not going to be helped. You know, preachers and youth pastors, I wonder, we have so many of the young people that seem to graduate from our Christian schools or graduate are in our church and they're in our church all the time and basically almost live at church. And then graduation comes and then it's like they pack their bags and we never see them again. You know why? I promise you, they've been living a lie. Guarantee you. Don't be a casualty. Don't be a casualty. Give these folks just a few more moments. Thank you, ladies, on the instruments. You can be seated, young people. Let me talk to you of just a few things, if I could, quickly. Okay, something must have happened. I must have missed it, so I probably don't need to know what it was. So we're going to move on real quick. Let me talk to you just about a few things. First of all, tomorrow, immediately after the morning service, our Trinity Baptist Bible College will be hosting a luncheon for all juniors and seniors. And if you just recently graduated from school, you're welcome to be there as well. Now, they're going to be serving, I think, barbecue. Is that right, Brother Reed? And so we can kind of get some idea of the count. If you are a junior or senior in school right now, in other words, you're going into your junior year, you're going into your senior year, or you just recently graduated from school, would you stand so that we can see who you are? If you're going into your junior year, into your senior year, or you just recently graduated, would you stand just a moment, let Brother Reed kind of get a count of who you are? All right. It looks like, okay. Okay? All right, you can be seated. And we want you to be a part of this luncheon, and we just want to introduce you to some things that God may use in your life. And so make plans that when we dismiss tomorrow for lunch, that'll be down in the college and educational building, which is kind of right in the dead center of our property. And we'll have some barbecue for you. The rest of us, we'll go on over to the fellowship hall. Now, immediately, okay, it's 12:20. We've got to leave at 1 o'clock, so can you eat fast? All right, you're going to have to eat fast, all right? And they're waiting for you in the fellowship hall when you walk across just where we had breakfast this morning. We've got a crew that is waiting there to serve you lunch. Now, I have in my notes from Brother O that the bus, if you're going by bus, the bus will leave at 1 o'clock. It says where active clothing. Everybody know what active clothing is? Then I don't have time to explain it then, all right? But guys, for those of you that are going to be competing in the flag football tournament, I'm looking around. I do not see Brother Combs, but Brother Combs, one of our assistant pastors, will be heading that up in Brother O's place. But we must leave at 1 o'clock. Now, if you're going to follow the bus in your church van, please make sure don't get separated from us, and because